This is Android Buffet, episode number 193, recorded Monday, March 31st, 2014, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Hi there, Jerry.
Alrighty then.
I've decided I'm going to be very upbeat this episode. So all episode, I'm going to talk in a very enthusiastic voice. So this
really?
Is my enthusiastic
After such
voice.
Such a sad rendition of our theme?
Well, I never said that I was a harmonica player. I've said that I am an expert kazoo player. So today I tried the harmonica and I stretched. So what you should be saying, Jerry, is that you believe that I did a wonderful job at trying to play the harmonica.
No, you did a good job playing the harmonica. I'm not saying that you did a bad job. All I'm saying is that it was a very sad rendition.
Would you like something a little more upbeat?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I could try to play a polka. I don't know. What sort of upbeat songs does one play on a harmonica? Let's see here. Oh, how about this one? Let's see. I need my lyrics. I think I'm in the wrong key. Oh, well. I better get back to that How to Play Harmonica book.
Okay.
So, as I said, I'm going to attempt to be upbeat this week. So everything I'm going to say in a cheery, upbeat voice, because I want to make sure that all of our listeners are wide awake. Usually I'm very soothing, but no soothing today. So how was your week, Jerry?
I'm a little taken aback. I'm not quite sure to deal with this new guru.
Well, I've activated my emergency backup personality. I want to make sure that I'm prepared.
All right.
Do you like this personality better than my normal one?
It's okay.
I'm trying.
Yes, you are.
I want to be a better co-host to you, Jerry.
Okay.
So tell me about your wonderful and exciting week and share it with all of our listeners out there.
It was busy.
Did you have lots of exciting fun with other people? Did you sit down and declare your Bitcoin on your tax returns? Because I hear that it is property and subject to capital gains and losses.
Retroactively, nonetheless. Woo, boy, that's a... wanker of a decision. Not a wanker. It makes it really complex. If you're dealing with Bitcoins or spending Bitcoins or buying Bitcoins, mining Bitcoins, any and all of the above, it's complicated now. It's because, geez, you have to keep track of anytime you do anything with a Bitcoin, you need to keep track of what the Bitcoin to dollar
conversion
exchange rate was at the time of the transaction. So it's wacky.
Well, you know what I'm going to say with my new attempt to be upbeat? I know you can do this, Jerry. I know that you can properly declare your Bitcoins because you are a smart and intelligent person who can handle this challenge.
I also have not done anything with my Bitcoins that is a taxable event.
You've been hoarding your Bitcoins, Jerry?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so we know who to go to when we're looking for them. They're all where they
There's
started.
An interesting post at blog.guarddeviance.org that was posted last year. And let's just say the last point in the post, or the second to last point, he's discussing what the world will look like when Bitcoin surpasses $5 million per coin.
And what will the world look like, Jerry?
It'll be sad.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Most of the governments will be failing because monetary policy is out of their grasp. So you know, they can't control the money system, and that reduces their control over the people.
So what you're saying is that Bitcoin will eventually cause all of the world's governments to collapse and create complete and total anarchy.
No, not anarchy, but it will certainly cause the collapse of some governments.
Well, that's a very cheery note for a very cheery day.
Okay.
As I said, I'm attempting to be upbeat. I think this show needs a little more upbeat.
Okay. I don't do upbeat.
I'm trying to become better at it because I believe that I have range. So I'm capable of being upbeat. You know, I could even, you know, ramp it up a few levels if you feel that this upbeat isn't upbeat enough. So we got some feedback this week.
We did.
Yes, we had a comment from Tom Scales.
Woo!
Assuming I'm pronouncing it, I suppose it could be Scalus. Now, Tom said, Guru, once you root your Nexus 5, you can install the exposed framework. That's X-P-O-S-E-D. And then use the Gravity Box module to tweak your settings/shade buttons, among many other things. Exposed can let you change a bunch of things under the hood without needing to flash a new ROM. Good luck, should you choose to accept this mission. I'm fine right now, thank you. One of the essential steps of reality is accepting the limitations of your system and not trying to change them. But we did get another message. This one was in, by the form of email, from Alan. Alan said, you should take a look at Adaptive Rotation Lock in the Play Store. This app pops up a contacts button in the middle of your screen when you rotate the device that allows you to approve the action. If you do not click the context button, then your device does not rotate the layout. The paid version allows for per-app settings so that you can have normal behavior or forced layout for specific apps. There are some apps which have problems with the context button feature, but so far using the per-app setting to false to for behavior has always solved this for me. This app is on my short list for killer Android apps. I find it much more convenient than having to constantly select a particular force layout from the window shade and then deselect that force option when I'm done. Well, thank you, Alan.
Wow. Nice to have choices.
Isn't it? See how much more interesting the show is when it's upbeat? And here's another fun story from our other news section. Did you know that Microsoft has agreed to stop looking through people's mail on Hotmail in the event that there's a potential legal issue between the user and Microsoft itself? And instead, they will turn that issue over to law enforcement as they would in the event that it was not on their server.
So how do they know what to turn over to law enforcement if they're not looking through the email?
Basically, they will go to law enforcement and say, this is now your case, and they will wait for law enforcement to ask them for the things that they can legally acquire. So they will treat it as if they don't have access to the information, and they will wait for law enforcement to go through the appropriate channels to ask them to give it to them, even though they have every right to take it without any law enforcement involvement.
Okay. So you could talk about child porn all you want in your emails, and unless Hotmail gets a warrant for your specific emails, they're not even going to target you ads.
Well, that's actually not necessarily an accurate example, Jerry. Now, as you know, this particular issue came because Microsoft was looking through emails for a potential legal issue that involved Microsoft itself. They have always said that they would not look through mail for potential legal issues outside of Microsoft unless requested by law enforcement. This was them where the actual subject of their investigation was illegal activity directed at Microsoft. And that is allowed by their terms of service. They can look through your email if there's a potential issue between you, the holder of the email account, and Microsoft itself. By the way, Google has a similar provision, which they say they have never had to execute. They only search through your email so that they can recommend that you go places.
All right.
And my former carrier, since I have now left Verizon for the wonderful horizons of Ting, has asked the FCC to not try to impose net neutrality again, now that it's been defeated, until there's an actual threat to net neutrality. So basically, until people are potentially harmed by a situation that we could do, don't actually try to legislate. Because that would be
bad. So basically what they're asking is, let us self-regulate ourselves until we fail at self-regulation, and then regulate us.
Haven't they already failed, Jerry?
I don't know. Have they?
Well, currently the only carrier that is subject to a net neutrality order is Comcast. Those lovely people who have been creating difficulty for their users by deciding that certain bits are more important than other bits. So the only carrier that is legally required to do net neutrality is now technically not doing it. But that depends on your opinion because other people say they are. So I would think that clarifying this might be the job of the FCC, except The FCC has remained silent on the matter. Probably not their fault, because their FCC is mostly filled with former cable and telecommunications lobbyists, and vice versa. But let's get on to a happier subject, since it's a happy day. Monopoly is debating the pros and cons of house rules on the game's Facebook page, and they want to incorporate a whole bunch of house rules into a special Monopoly edition. So essentially, you can propose new and exciting rules for a special edition of Monopoly and debate them.
Okay.
Do you like Monopoly,
Jared? Doesn't every household have their own Monopoly rules?
Yes, but now you can go and share your rules with other people as part of a special edition. For example, Jerry, you might have the special Jerry Jones Monopoly rule that goes, whenever you land on Marvin Gardens, you have to pay Jerry some money, even if he doesn't actually own Marvin Gardens.
It's interesting.
Are you a big fan of Marvin Gardens?
Not so much.
What is your
Marvin
favorite?
Marvin Gardens is yellow, right?
Yes. What is your favorite Monopoly property, Jerry?
I like the utilities.
I'm sort of a railroad guy myself.
I'm not surprised.
I like to take a ride on the Reading Railroad.
Reading. I thought it was Reading.
Well, in Monopoly, they call it the Reading Railroad, but technically the railroad in question would be the Reading Railroad. Also, Short Line was not a railroad. It was a bus company. It still exists. I've ridden it.
Okay.
Not for fun. I'd like to say for the record that nobody rides Short Line bus for fun. At least I hope not. Saw a lot of really bad movies on there. Moving along, little public service announcement for you, Terry. Since you live in Florida, the land of many swimming pools, I want you to be careful and make sure that nobody is urinating in your pool, because there's been a study that pee in pool water yields a toxic byproduct, cyanogen chloride, which is considered a chemical warfare agent.
What if you don't have chloride in your pool?
I suppose that wouldn't be a problem.
A lot of the pools down here, instead of being chloride pools, they're saltwater pools.
That's an option. But I wanted to warn you that should your pool be a conventional chloride pool, or rather chlorine pool, then you run the risk of getting cyanogen chloride in your pool should you choose to urinate there. So please do not urinate in your pool. I want to make sure all of our listeners are safe this summer season. It's a beautiful spring day here in New York, which is why it was snowing this morning.
So wrong.
I know. We have some news about what is now our mutual carrier Sprint, although I am on Ting, which is sort of Sprint, but they're Canadian. Sprint plans to bring HD voice to the entire network by July. So your voice calls will sound better if you are talking to somebody who also has HD voice and you are still making voice calls. Studies indicate that people make fewer voice calls than they ever have before. People like to text.
And this won't require any changes on the phone?
If you have a capable phone, and a lot of phones are capable because they have had the software support for this for some time. I believe there
will
be...
Does that include our Android phones?
This would include Android phones. I do not know if the Nexus 5 has software support for HD voice, but I would imagine it would, as it is merely a codec. I believe it's the AMR wideband codec.
Oh, sweet.
Yes. And do you remember I was talking about the Mi Nova? The little itty-bitty, teeny-weeny, tiny micro SD card reader for Android devices that was originally a Kickstarter? Do you know what arrived in the mail today, Jerry?
No. Your micro SD card reader?
No, of course not. That arrived last week. Oh. My burger press, but... That's not relevant.
Your burger.
Right now. My burger press.
You got a burger press?
Yeah, so I can press meat. I also got, 100 patty, what do they call the, you know, those things that you put the patties on? Patty paper.
Wax paper-like stuff?
But in the right size for a burger. So now I can go and to my local warehouse club and buy 3 pounds of burger meat, press my own burgers in record time, and freeze them. Especially since my local supermarket stopped selling decent meat. I guess there wasn't enough of a call for it. What can you do? But there was another story this week about a competing product, the Leaf Access Dongle. But I don't see why you would want this device, as it actually seems much larger than the Mi Nova.
Alrighty.
And of course, Jerry, on a positive note, since I have just completed paying my taxes, I've decided that in order to raise additional money for the show, I am going to try a fundraiser.
Okay.
What do you think about that? I'm going to throw out this idea here that all I have to do in order to solve this problem is go and put myself up to public ridicule in order to get us money.
Okay.
So I'm going to sell a new item, Guru Sings His Favorites from Android Buffet. You think it'll work?
I'm probably not going to buy it.
Yes, but do you think people would buy it just for the enjoyment of not having me sing? I'm thinking of making it that if you don't send money that I will sing for you. I just haven't
quite... Can I pay you to not send it to me?
Yes. In fact, that's our special fundraising option, that I will send you the album unless you go and send some money to contribute to the show. What do you think about this idea of a fundraising opportunity?
Well, maybe we should try... they could pay you to send them your version, but they would have to pay for us to not send them my version.
Are you saying that you go and have the ability to sing worse than I do? Because I'm sure that I could sing pretty badly if I chose to.
I think I would sing pretty badly whether I chose to or not.
Okay. Because I've been working on some, you know, some tunes from, you know, some classic singers, like the Mellow Men. No? They're the ones who sung the theme to the classic television show Zorro, which was broadcast from 1957 to 1959. No. Anyway.
I just don't have anything to contribute to that. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I wanted to look for new and innovative fundraising opportunities. So I'm going to keep trying. You know, I think that this is an open and friendly space where I can throw out ideas without fear of ridicule.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about a little more in regards to Android. Did you know that Google has updated its Play Store policies to crack down on deceptive advertising?
I did.
Okay. How do you feel about this, Trey?
I like it, especially the part that says don't transmit or link to viruses or worms.
I'm always really? I'm always in favor of that. But you know what I'm really glad about? That Google went out there and was brave enough to put that in writing.
Yep.
Yes. But you know, there's a lot of ads
that are purposely deceptive. I mean, they look like settings panels or virus warnings or whatever. And I understand that advertising is how stuff is paid for nowadays.
I understand this as well. That's why I'm not afraid of advertising.
Especially if it's DYN.com. But
no, not them.
Not them. But you need to be honest about your advertising.
I agree.
And I appreciate the policies against deceptive advertisings.
And that includes that apps and their advertisements should not modify or add browser settings or bookmarks or add home screen shortcuts.
Yep. And they should not look like system service or app notifications or alerts.
Yes. And you also have, if your product description refers to in-app features to which a specific or additional charge applies, your description must clearly notify users that payment is required to access those features. So essentially, you can't have an application that does nothing unless you pay more money, and it's advertised as free unless that's disclosed in the description, at least moderately.
Yep.
And this is immediate, so it is immediate effect, but if it doesn't comply, that people will either have to unpublish the app or fix and republish the app within 15 days of receiving the email. And after that period, they will enforce it.
I like it.
And I think that's wonderful. So in other news, did you know that KitKat is the most stable mobile operating system available?
It certainly appears that way for me.
And Gingerbread is the least stable of the ones that were tested. And apparently the latest version of iOS is nearly as bad as Gingerbread in terms of stability.
You know, interestingly, one of my birthday presents was an iPad Air.
And I'm sorry to hear that, Jerry.
Yeah, me too. I do notice a lot more crashes on that than I do on my phone. And I use my phone a lot more than I use the iPad.
And that is what maturity does for some platforms. In defense of iOS, and I sometimes wish to defend them, sometimes I don't, iOS had a major redesign during its last revision, and apparently the major redesign made it less stable. Maybe they'll fix that eventually. This is what happens when you change a large portion of your operating system at a certain level. Moving back to the wonderful people over at Google, they have now mandated that the Powered by Android branding must be on new devices during the boot process. So when you boot, it can say Samsung, it can say Verizon, but in little tiny letters it must say Android somewhere.
I don't think my Nexus 5 does.
But it is not something. It is not a license. Remember, it actually is a Google phone. Google doesn't have to tell people who bought from Google that it's a Google phone. They just have to tell people who didn't buy from Google that it's a Google phone.
I am rebooting my phone to verify this.
Okay.
And it does start up in the first sign. It does say Google, and then I get the little twirly widget, and then I get my home screen.
Yes. But if you are a third-party manufacturer or you're doing branding with Verizon, it has to say somewhere that it is powered by Android. It can be at the bottom, but it has to say it during the boot process.
Sure. Okay. And if you don't do that, then you can't get the Play Store?
Exactly. Google is really becoming so hard on these things. I don't understand. They're asking all sorts of unreasonable things, like if your phone is powered by Android, you have to say so. And if you have Google experiences on your phone, that you might actually have to mention it to somebody instead of hiding it along with your copy of the Samsung Hub or S Pen or whatever other garbage your manufacturer and or your carrier wish to put on the phone. I'm sorry. I'm very happy with my stock Android now. It works much better. You know, even though the Samsung experience has gotten much better over the years, I am enjoying the experience that doesn't have all the things that the first thing I do on a phone is get rid of. Simplicity. Yay. And
Google. I still miss HTC Sense.
Well, we're going to get to that in a moment, Jerry. I have some good news for you.
Woohoo!
HTC has followed Google and Motorola's lead and is adding their key apps from Sense to the Play Store. And there is a rumor that they might not restrict these apps to only being installed on HTC devices.
Nice.
Did you see the new HTC One M8?
We're talking hardware now, right?
Only for a moment. I just asked if you saw it. I didn't ask you to comment on it or review it.
Okay.
That is the latest HTC phone. I know that at one point you were an enthusiast of HTC.
I was until I got an LG.
Yes. I just thought I would ask. It is a successor to the previous one, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm. No, I know that it exists, but I don't know the specs on it.
I just saw a picture. It looked nice.
Well, they all look nice.
Yeah, but HTC has decided that they're going to continue with metal construction, which is a very interesting decision when most of the other manufacturers are using a plastic body. That does
well,
give them
my HTC Evo, the OG, or not the OG, the LTE version.
Yes.
It was tough. It put up with a lot. That metal body was nice.
Well, maybe someday you will wish to buy an HTC One M8, but not today because you're very happy with your phone, as am I.
I am.
Google is also reportedly focusing on improving enterprise security in Android. So a lot of third-party manufacturers, such as Motorola and Samsung, have invested in improving enterprise security so that they can sell to security-conscious individuals. Now, Google has said that because they want this to be part of the operating system, they're going to be focusing on this. So it may be that the next version of Android has a lot of security improvements.
Good.
Or it could be that it
doesn't. Security is good for everybody, not just the enterprise.
I agree. I'm glad that
although
this is a
normally I, when you say security level or security level or excuse me when you say enterprise level security, what I normally think is centralized control, not necessarily more secure.
Oh, I thought that when you thought that when I said enterprise security that Captain Kirk was going to beam down and take over your security personally.
No.
Okay. Anyway, so enterprise security could mean what you're saying, which is centralized security, but it is responding to the need of organizations that wish to trust that any phone that they give to their employees is up to a certain level. And remember, those features could always be turned off. Not everybody needs enterprise security, but at least they're there. And two men pled guilty to copyright infringement. The men were involved in two piracy sites that distributed Android apps.
Whoa!
Yes, apparently there were additional individuals who were involved in this.
Snaps Market and App Rocket Market.
Have you ever patronized these markets, Jerry?
I have not. I did not even know that they existed.
Well, see, this is why you and I are just law-abiding citizens.
We are.
We don't go to these, you know, black markets for applications. We go to
gray markets.
What was that?
Or gray market.
Oh, I suppose it could be a gray market. We go to the legitimate places to purchase things or to acquire them because we care. Yes.
And because
it is insecure. And we care about security.
You never know what they're doing to those things. I mean, bear in mind that most applications for your phone are written in Java. And Java is decompilable and modifiable. So it's perfectly feasible for these. I mean, they have to take the APK and do something to it so that it doesn't phone home or ask Google for authorization to run.
Well, don't you remember that automated tool that would install spyware into any APK and then monitor it that we were discussing a few weeks back?
There you go.
See, isn't that a very smart way to automate this? Anytime you put an app into your app store, all it has to do is just automatically load that spyware in there. But they're out of business now. And apparently Find and some other stuff too. Let's talk about some apps. If you like Microsoft Office, do you like Microsoft Office, Jerry?
Sometimes.
It is now free.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, just remember that Microsoft is no longer a Windows company. It is a services company. So services mean that you have to be platform agnostic. And don't you remember many, many, many years ago where one of the launch customers for software on the Macintosh was Microsoft?
Yep.
Isn't that a return to Microsoft's earlier philosophy of working with everybody? I'm guessing that the only person who was against that was the bomber. I suppose we'll get a new one of those dating games. Wasn't that? You remember that, right? Where they had the Apple version of the dating game where they had the developers, including Bill Gates on stage, trying to make software for the Macintosh. That was a long time ago. Ah, the good old days. TimeHop has come to Android, so you can get your social media posts from the past. Except you, Jerry. Well, actually, yep. No. In the past, you were occasionally on social media, so you could use this app. I know you've left.
I did.
Well, you know, I was going to mention it last week, but I've decided to switch over to a philosophy that I've been reading about on the indie web.
What's that?
Posse. Post once, syndicate everywhere. So I'm going to continue to create content on my site, and I'm just going to send it everywhere where everybody else is.
Wouldn't that be POSE?
That's the indie web, people. That's their acronym.
Because it's spelled POSE, right?
POSSE.
Is it?
The acronym that they are using is POSSE. POSSI. Post. Oh, excuse me. Post on your own site. Syndicate elsewhere is the exact acronym. So
that's OECA.
They do it as POSSE. It is a syndication model where the flow involves posting your content on your own domain first, then syndicating out copies to third-party services with perma links back to the original version. Posse, as it is pronounced, lets your friends keep using whatever silo aggregator, Facebook, Twitter, etc., they've been using to read your stuff. So basically, what you are doing is making sure that your content is not in a silo.
Seems intelligent.
Yes, that's why I've decided to join these people and bring my site up to indie web standards. I just haven't gotten to it yet. Also, I have entirely too many websites. Well, I maintain a lot of them, although I want to make sure that they're all posse'd. Right?
Sure.
Okay, moving along. Cerberus, which I have used as a security application, has issued a statement following a data breach that people should change their passwords. I've also, as a precaution, I believe, changed my username. So hopefully they won't find me. Because I have used that application, and I don't want some malicious individual coming along and wiping my phone. As fun as that would be. I could redo the whole thing. And my personal favorite of the week, LastPass, has finally found a way to autofill on Android.
No.
Yes. So now I do, even though there are no Chrome extensions, they have found a way to essentially, the same way that those little annoying chat heads work, they will paint a little box over the screen that will fill in any box. It uses the accessibility functions of the phone. I'm very excited about this, Jerry.
Oh boy.
See, this Jerry, I knew that my enthusiasm, if I worked on it, would infect you.
No. That's just an awesome thing. I mean, because seriously, you need to have different passwords for every site. Because Cerberus, a security focused company,
yes,
just had a data breach.
That is correct. Right?
Where usernames and encrypted passwords, encrypted passwords were stolen. So if they can decrypt the passwords, which is feasible, especially if they all, anyway, that password gets out. If you're using the same password everywhere else, then everything is compromised.
And I concur. So you need
to use different passwords everywhere.
I concur.
And unless you have an eidetic memory.
Do you, Jerry?
I do not.
I do not either. I do you not know any of my passwords
that are hard to brute force, hard to guess, hard, and almost by definition, hard to remember. So don't remember them. Trust that to another service like LastPass. LastPass is my personal favorite because it works everywhere.
I use that in KeePass.
Security has been so far impeccable.
I use that and I use KeePass. So I use two services.
Do you use the same master password for both of them?
No, I do not. I only have to remember two of them.
Well, I find that acceptable. Anyway,
one is my local password store, and the other is my cloud password store. There is some overlap, but not 100%. Anyway, this has been a fun episode, Jer. I know it's been something of a slow news week, but you know what tomorrow is. I know we were discussing this prior to the show.
April Fool's Day in an hour and a half-ish.
Yes. So in honor of that, since many of our listeners have been listening to the show the day after we post it, which is in 2 hours from the time we record it, I have decided to spend the entire episode happy, or at least my reasonable facsimile thereof. I suppose that this is the point where I'm supposed to say April Fool.
No, sure. I don't know. Maybe.
Unless you actually believed I have an emergency backup personality.
Apparently you do.
Maybe I'm just a good actor.
You did fine.
Okay. Well, I do have one other topic which you may find interesting. Do you remember my numerous discussions about the dual flush conversion system and internals on toilets? Somebody must have read my article on the subject because I got all of these emails from somebody who wanted to tell me about their dual flush converter system.
Okay.
And they sent me all these emails over on Gadget Wisdom. I am the owner and inventor of a product called Tap and Flush. This week was the product launch for Tap and Flush, a revolutionary electronic dual flush converter that is designed to convert every toilet to dual flush. At our website, Tap and Flush, that's TAPNFLUSH, is a 90-second product video. Also, there's information about our company, our social and environmental responsibilities, and the background story behind the inventing of this product. As part of the product launch, I would like to offer you free Tap and Flush units for product giveaways on your website. And I would also like to know if you're interested in reviewing this product. So I want to know, should I go and accept a free $39.95 value for an electric dual flush system? Because I've been, have you seen this?
I have not.
No, I'm saying since I mentioned the URL, have you gone to this address?
No. Post it in chat, or can you?
Of course I can. But it is tapnflush.com. But the interesting thing about this is I decided to watch their 90-second profit video. So essentially, it is an electrical device that you put on top of your toilet. So it's a box that I have to mount on top of my toilet. It's not hidden or built into the toilet assembly inside the tank. Then you have to run a line into the toilet, and it hooks on to your flapper. You know, the chain that goes to your flapper. So you need a toilet with a flapper.
Okay.
My toilet doesn't have a flapper anymore, but I could scrounge up a toilet that had a flapper. So what this does is it completely disables the handle on your toilet. Instead, you press the button on this electric device, which raises the flapper and lowers the flapper according to whatever you set on a dial. So while I certainly like the idea of dual flush conversion, I don't know if I want an electrical device that has to sit on top of my toilet, even though it is powered by two batteries that will last for several years, of course, according to the 90-second video, for the purpose of raising and lowering my flapper.
Certainly seems to be a creative solution.
Well, it is, because you don't need to do any changes to the toilet. Now, when I installed my current dual flush system, which is a Being Water dual flush system, what I had to do was remove the tank, essentially replace the flapper with what's essentially a plunger. And I actually like the plunger technique because it's less prone to problems. And before that, I had one that fit in where the flapper used to be. So you don't have to replace any toilet internals, which is a potentially good thing. All you have to do is attach this thing and then hook it onto your existing flapper. But if your flapper is leaking, then that doesn't really help. But it is interesting. So I'm wondering, should I...
I give them points for creativity.
Yeah. So according to this, the inventor, decided it was clear that the ideal dual flush system would be able to fit every toilet, be simple to install, and allow for less water to be used when flushing liquid waste without compromising the integrity of a powerful large flush. He spent many years thinking about the design while working as a commercial real estate analyst. When the real estate market began declining, he took the leap and began inventing Tap and Flush full-time. And his Hawaii-based company is located on the beautiful island of Oahu, just around the corner from Waikiki Beach. And there's a design team that includes a mechanical engineering firm in New York, an industrial designer in New Jersey, and an electrical engineering firm in Missouri.
Wow. They're serious about this, yo.
I think they are. And they are socially and environmentally responsible. And apparently they donate 5% of all profits to water.
To what?
To the charity Water, which does drinking water for people. So 5% of profits goes to a charity that actually goes and helps people who need water get water. So on one level, I don't necessarily, you know, I understand the benefit of the design, but I don't think as a consumer, I don't think I would like a device that I have to mount on top of my toilet. Admittedly, if you're renting, that's a good idea because your landlord probably wouldn't want you to rip out the guts of your toilet and put something new in.
As a landlord, I would concur.
But, see, this is the but. If you're renting, it depends. Some people who rent pay water bills and some people who rent don't. It depends on your arrangement with your landlord. Some people include water and some people don't. So I suppose you could be renting, be responsible for the water bill and want to conserve power. And this thing is easy, not only easy to install, but easy to remove. So I'm trying to decide, should I've never gotten a product review unit. Should my first product review unit be a tap and flush, and what would I install it on, being as I have one toilet and I've converted it?
Wow.
So you see my problem.
Certainly a dilemma.
Yes. And, you know, offers of free dual flush converters don't come along every day.
They do not. This is a true statement.
It's a hard decision.
It is.
And I'm still coming off of my last hard decision. I ported my number from Verizon over to Ting.
How did that work out?
I had very many interesting conversations with Ting. Basically, in order to port a number over to Ting, you must port it to a phone. In order to port it to the phone, you have to have a phone to port it to that isn't currently active. My phone was active under a different number. So my choice was to deactivate my phone and wait for the number to port over, which could take 24 to 48 hours, or not do that. So apparently there's no way to have them hold the number until such a time as they can deactivate your existing phone and get rid of your existing number. So I still had the Galaxy S3 I'd bought for cheap on Swappa. So I ported my Verizon number to that, and then I swapped the number between the two phones, then deactivated the S3 with ever actually turning it on again with the temporary number that I'd gotten from Ting. Being as this meant that for apparently 60 seconds during the course of the month, I had two phones on Ting. That means I owe them $6. But at least I didn't have 24 hours with no phone.
True.
Yeah. So here I am. And I think I'm doing well because I've done a little checking here. Let's see how I'm doing in my first month of using only Ting. Let's go to the numbers. I am currently in the large minute category. I have spent 691 minutes.
Wow.
Mostly on hold with my mother. I'm sorry. She says, can you wait for one moment, and then walks away for 5 minutes. I'm paying 2 cents a minute to stay on hold.
That's so hilarious.
Well, you know that the holiday season is coming up?
Easter?
Passover. It's like Easter, only more involved. Easter lasts, what, one day?
Well,
it's a season, but I'm saying...
If you're Catholic, it's Semana Santa, and that is hardly quick.
Okay, Passover is 8 days. Admittedly, not all of them require taking off from work, but there's a certain amount of preparation for an 8-day holiday.
I imagine.
So my parents don't like to leave my grandparents alone, so I will be doing all the preparations personally. I have sunk $750 into Passover so far.
Holy cow, dude.
I'm hoping that my relatives chip in a bit. Well, no, I've been buying all the food. I have the food in a large container, and I will be driving it to the Passover site this weekend. I have a designated Passover site.
Okay.
So I will be setting that up over the weekend and hauling all the stuff there. And then I have to take all the dishes out of the cabinets, and that's a whole other conversation. But what has been happening is I have gone to Costco. You've heard of it.
I have.
And they have a large stock of special Passover items that they're bringing in for the season. And so I have gotten my brother, who's bringing his family, my mother on the phone, and I'm going back and forth between them, asking them what I'm supposed to be buying. So that's taken 691 minutes of conversation, because my mother keeps insisting on having, you know, on having me hold the phone to my head and walk around the store and narrate what I see, so she can decide whether or not she wants me to add it to the list.
Wow.
Yeah. I just said, if I became estranged from my mother, I could save $18 a month in minutes. That probably won't happen, but either way, I've only used 374 megabytes of data, and I'm only 9 days from the end of the month. How's that for rationing?
Wow.
I've been finding a lot of fun Wi-Fi networks.
Wow.
So if any of you are interested in a Ting referral, I get $25. So drop me a line. I'm not complaining about free money. Not only that, they get $25 too.
That's nice.
So basically, I get a credit on my bill, and you get a credit on your first bill. So I'm fine with that, and there is no if I'm reading this correctly, is as long as I don't have any SEO tricks, spamming blasts, or shady deals, they will let me talk as many people into Ting as I want. So basically, I cannot sell Ting referral codes for monetary benefit or promote my code using keywords. So I can't go onto Google and buy $5 worth of AdSense credit to try to convince people to move to Ting. But
you never do that anyway.
But I'm sure somebody will. So basically, as long as it is me promoting it in an honest way, I can make a little money or save a little money, depending on your perspective. So if anybody's interested, just drop me a line privately. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. I hope you had fun with me and my alternate personality.
Yes.
Do you want me to restore my original personality for next week?
I like your original personality.
Okay. Well, I thought it would be a nice change.
It was a change.
I could, of course, try something else and drive you crazy by trying a completely different personality.
Let's not. Okay. Let's say we did.
Okay. I like to be prepared. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. If you are interested in learning more about the Tap and Flush toilet, you can visit them at tapandflush.com. I figured maybe they'll send me a free toilet if I ask them nicely, but I haven't decided yet. Anyway, let's see. podcast@androidbuffet is our email address. You can, of course, visit us on any of the standard social networks. Right now, we are a posse shop. We post over on androidbuffet.com, notice of the episode, and it is syndicated to all of the various siloed communities, like facebook.com/androidbuffet and plus.google.com/plusandroidbuffet or google.com/plusandroidbuffet, where it is manually posseed by Kevin McLaughlin,
who has been doing an excellent and most responsive job.
Well, I looked it up. You know, I could replace him with an automated script for $50. I don't think I'm going to do that, though.
No.
I don't have $50.
Kevin, it's unreplaceable.
No, I meant not for being part of the community. I meant for posting notes on the show. I have auto post for Facebook and Twitter, but Google Plus does not have a write API. Somebody came up with an automated script that does it, but they're charging a licensing fee. So as of now, I have not paid for it. Anyway, let's see, where else can you find us? You can, of course, visit us on Twitter at twitter.com/androidbuffet. And you may leave us a voicemail, 201-2-Wenica, or you may record an audio file, which we will gladly play during the show, assuming that your audio file is safe for public consumption. We are, of course, a reasonably family-friendly program because we are a member of the Tech Podcast Network. There's some tech. It's over there. You know what I haven't done in a while, Jerry? I haven't talked about another show on the Tech Podcast Network. For example, this week on the Audacity to Podcast, they have an episode on what is RSS and why you must own yours. So this is more posseing.
Yep.
Yes. So why is it that you shouldn't have your RSS feed run through FeedBurner, which we once did, but I took it off of FeedBurner because I didn't trust them, right after Google killed Reader. So we are now FeedBurnerless. So you can go and listen to Daniel J. Lewis of Cincinnati, Ohio, talking about why you must own your own RSS feed and why this could mean that you would lose all your subscribers. Or you can check out This Day in Tech History, March 31st, 1993, where the word spam was coined. I'm going to have to listen to that. I want to know the history of the word spam. And did I cover any way of... Yes. If you don't want to talk to me and you only want to talk to Jerry, Jerry can be reached at jerry.jones@gmail.com.
True statement.
Yes. You may also show up at his home in Jacksonville, Florida. But just remember, if you show up at his home, bring refreshments. You know what they say, it's rude to show up at somebody else's home without bringing, you know, at least a babka or something.
Or at least, you know, let me know in advance what you'd like so I can make sure and have it on hand.
Yes, but that's your obligation as the host. Your obligation as the host is to provide refreshment for your guests. However, your guests showing up at your home, their obligation is to bring you a nice token of their affection for showing up at your home.
You know, one of these days, somebody's actually going to show up at my house.
It'll probably be me. I'd do it just for the amusement value of it. No, seriously, if I was not one of those people who was worried about flying to a strange city and showing up on somebody's doorstep, I would show up on your doorstep just to cap off this joke.
I would welcome it.
Okay, let's see what we have here. Tomorrow's the 1st? Let's see here. From JFK Airport to Jacksonville, Florida, departing on, no, it's March 1st. On the 1st. One way, because I assume I don't need to get back, because if I don't show up at work, they'll fire me. So, there's an 8:38 a.m. arrives at 11:06. There's a 2:50 arrives at 5:28. There's a 9:19 that arrives at 11:57. It's only $281 plus tax. Oh, they have a 320 on the route now. That's great.
You know, speaking of which, I was reading that one way to get cheaper fares is to, if you can find a ticket that where your final destination that you where you want to go is a layover for another flight, it is often cheaper to get it that way.
That's referred to as throwaway ticketing. It's a violation of the terms and conditions of your purchase. And you do run the risk that the airline will either, as per their conditions of carriage, charge you for the difference between the transportation you took and the transportation that you paid for. Or my personal favorite, because you missed you got off at an intermediate stop, if you have a return ticket and it's a round-trip fare, they will cancel your return almost certainly. Also, airlines do have memories. They may blacklist you. If they find out about it.
Now, why is it like that?
Well, it's a NOSH problem.
I don't know what that means.
NOSH would be short for no-show. So basically, the idea is that the airline, had you advised them in advance, could have sold the seat. If you're wondering why it is cheaper to go, let's say, from Jacksonville to Dayton, Ohio, via Cincinnati, as opposed to getting off the plane and just going Jacksonville to Cincinnati, airline fare calculations are based on origin to destination. So it may be that the market going to a certain place is different than the market going to another place, even if you happen to be connecting through that place, which is counterintuitive.
You think?
Well, no. What you're saying is I'm on a plane and I'm going from point A to point B and then point B to point C. The airline sees it as you going from point A to point C. It doesn't care about the intermediate point because it's pricing you based on where you're going, not where you're stopping. So you could actually pay less money to go further.
See, I don't buy that because if I'm shopping for tickets,
yeah,
tickets with no layovers are more expensive than tickets with layovers.
It depends on the route. It also depends on the airline. You're assuming that all airlines do their pricing identically. But when you file a fare, fares are filed from origin to destination. Now, it's possible you could go and have two fares, which is what's referred to as sum of sector pricing, where you have a fare for each flight that is separate. But most airlines essentially have a fare from where you're starting to where you're going. And that's
like any fares.
The maximum number of fare levels you can have is 26. Which, there are only 26 letters of the alphabet. The number of fares you can have is significantly larger than that. The number of fare levels you can have are 26 because you have to use Roman characters, and there are only 26 letters in the alphabet.
Wow.
I've been having a discussion about this recently. I'm also very active in aviation enthusiast groups.
You know, on a completely mildly unrelated note.
Yes.
My wife had to go fly somewhere.
Yes.
And when we went to the airline or to the airport and I dropped her off, yep, I noticed that the TSA pre-line was longer than the not TSA pre-line.
I guess a lot of people have been shelling out that $85. I thought about doing it. I don't like taking off my shoes. And I could go to an office and let them fingerprint me. I figure, why should I care if they fingerprint me? My fingerprints are already on file with the FBI. You probably have does the military fingerprint?
Fingerprint and DNA, baby.
Okay, I don't have DNA on file with the government, but I do have fingerprints. For a very similar, though not identical, reason to why you do. So, nothing legal, if anybody's going to accuse me of committing a crime.
Or having committed a crime.
What? I think I told you why I have fingerprints.
Everybody has fingerprints.
No, I meant on file with the FBI.
Oh, no.
As a backup
and
career.
And if you did, I did.
No, as a backup career, I got a teaching license. If you want to get a teaching license, you must be fingerprinted. Don't you feel better about your educators now? And I understand the sentiment, but you know that doesn't really convey trust in the people who you're trusting your children to. On the other hand, that's why they want them fingerprinted. There are some pretty crazy teachers out there. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program for this evening. I will be back next week. Jerry, next week we will have to discuss alternate plans for the subsequent 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. I will be setting up my ultra secret alternate studio. And this year it's going to be pretty much identical to my normal studio. Because remember how I built the entire studio into a flight case?
Mm-hmm.
It can fit in a trunk now.
Wow.
So I don't have to have admittedly, if I'm flying somewhere, I have to have a temporary studio. But since I am just driving somewhere, I can just stick it in the trunk. Should be fun. I just have to build a studio. I'll get to it. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program. We'd love to hear from you and your friends and your alternate emergency backup personalities. We want to be all inclusive. Right, Cher?
We do.
Yes. So if you are interested in talking to us, please drop us a line through one of the previously established means. We'll be back next episode for 194.
You know what would be cool for this tap and flush?
What?
One of those little IR sensors so you don't have to actually tap it.
Well, I don't know. I'm always worried about that. When I go into bathrooms, you know, public restrooms that have the automated flusher, I lean forward on the toilet and it flushes and I'm not yet done. And I might be leaning forward for the purpose of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So my hand has suddenly gotten soaked by the flush. So I don't necessarily think that an infrared is the best move.
Oh.
Only because the commercial ones don't seem to work properly. Or maybe they're just...
Okay.
You know, maybe it requires more thought from the tap and flush people. I don't know. Either way, we'll debate that for next week.
Okay.
Okay. Good night, Jerry.
Good night.